And I am your other host, Victoria Molle.
We are very excited because today we are welcoming Kara Mahorn.
Hello. Thank you. Wow, I sound really important in your intro. I have to hire you.
You are. We love, we love being everyone's biggest fangirls, and we're absolutely thrilled to have you here to get your insights and your perspectives. And we usually like to kick off our interviews by asking our lovely guests what they fangirl over. So what do you fangirl over?
Fangirling over so many things right now. Honestly, I will say this week in particular, I am actually fangirling over a fan film.
Ooh.
There is an actor who created a fan film based on Miles Morales, and he's playing Miles Morales, and the fan film is called Miles from Home. If you get a chance, look at it on YouTube. His name is Quincy Fouse. It might be Fouse. The last name is Fouse. When you see it and you go, wait, this kid looks familiar. Where do I know him from? Okay, so did you guys watch Logan?
Yes.
Remember like the lovely black family that got like decimated?
Unfortunately, yes.
He was the son that like lent his earbuds to like X-23 and was like friendly with her. So I guess he took his Logan money and put it towards this fan film because it's very high quality. Most of it kind of takes place in this alley, but it is clearly like a couple hours after in this world, a couple hours after Miles must have gotten bit by the spider because he's still trying to figure out like what's wrong with me? Why am I sticking to things? But it also kind of calls attention to like police brutality. I don't want to give it away. It's just it was so well done. And it was so like somebody like in my feed was like, you need to see this. And I'm so happy that they didn't preface it with anything because I was so pleasantly surprised. And if they make a live action Miles and they don't hire this kid, it'll be a travesty because it was amazing. So that is what I'm currently fangirling over. And then the other thing I'm there in terms of comics, there's House of X. Like, it's been, I'm a big indie comic fan, and it's been a minute since I've fangirled over a Marvel comic. I don't mean like a single issue or like a single 6 or 7 issue run. And apparently Hickman, who's been writing Powers of X, House of X, envisioned this whole world, I guess 2 years ago he envisioned it and laid out the whole thing for something like 8 years. So, yeah. And I can't remember the last time I've been like every 2 weeks trying to make sure I get this comic. Those are the things I'm geeking out over right now. I know it's very Marvel heavy. Sorry.
No, that's wonderful.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's a really good one. There's one from like 2016 that Maya Glick did for about Storm. That's still my favorite Storm fan fiction. There's a My Hero Academia one out now, right now, with all these different people with different quirks. It's amazing. I'm a huge anime fan too. So it's sort of like, it's frustrating when the fans are doing better films than the studios. And like, Adi Shankar kind of started that with his bootleg films. Because he's got like a bootleg Punisher, a bootleg. If you guys haven't seen his bootleg Power Rangers, it's like Power Rangers for HBO. It's like Power Rangers Dark.
Wow.
He got Katie Sackhoff to play the Pink Ranger. Like it is. He got Dawson. I call him Dawson. It's not, but the guy from Dawson's Creek to be
James Vanderbeek.
Yes, James Vanderbeek to be. I don't want to give away his character, but he's a baddie. So yeah, I'm a huge fan of fan films because honestly, that's where the fandom is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually have two quick questions. Would you be so kind to send us the Miles Morales link so we can link it in our show notes for everyone to take a look at?
Absolutely.
And then the second one, do you mind if we end the podcast now so I can go watch the Miles Morales?
Right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Kidding, it's been lovely. Kidding. It's been lovely talking to you both. Yeah, what's really interesting about that is that everything I've done has kind of been by accident. And when I say by accident, it's like, you know, when you like sit down and you craft like an amazing essay or amazing post and then like three people look at it. But then that rant that you do on Twitter at 2 a.m. goes viral and you're like, wait a minute. It's kind of sort of been like that. It's going to sound weird, but and sad, but I'm okay. The Blur Girl actually started when I was in the hospital. I actually am a stroke survivor, and I had a situation, and that's why I said, I'm okay. And I was in the hospital, and I had to sort of learn how to use my left hand again, learn how to walk again. But there was a lot of time obviously spent in medical facilities, which I don't like and I don't recommend. But I had friends sending me comic books, and I was talking to a lot of people, and I come from a production background. I've been editing and doing graphics and production like that for years and years and years. And it was funny, I was working in Philly, like I had been working on things like Naked and Afraid and like Bear Grylls and things like that. And I remember being in the hospital going, I am not going to die working on Naked and Afraid. This is not happening. That's not going in my obituary. I don't care what happens. I am going to work on something that I care about and that will possibly maybe help people. And so I started a Tumblr that was called, actually, first it was called Derpy Girl, and then I changed it to Blur Girl because I thought derpy, in my experience, meant clumsy. But a bunch of people hit me up that were like, listen, 4chan has turned that actually into a dirty word about people with mental disability. And I was like, what? Oh, no. But that night, I said, all right, well, I'm going to do one last post as Derpy Girl, and then I'm going to switch over to the Blurred Girl, because at that time, the topic, the commentary, the term blurred wasn't really being used that much. I mean, I think Black Girl Nerd did use it a little bit. You'd seen it in the vernacular. I sat up that night and wrote a post, actually, that was called 25 Reasons You're Not Making Any Money at Comic-Con. And it was really a rage post about all of these people who complained how they never make any money. The post blew up overnight, much to my dismay, because literally at midnight, I switched the whole thing over to the Blur Girl. So I was like, crap. And so to this day, there is a shadow of Derpy Girl that still exists behind Blur Girl, because I don't want that post to die. But yeah, that was like the first big post on the blurgirl.com and the Blur Girl Tumblr. And I actually never set out to be this voice of diversity. It's just really weird. It's sort of one of those things where you turn around and you just happen to get there early and you're the first person in line. And so now everybody thinks you're in charge. And you're like, no, I just, like, I'm a BTS fan that just slept on the street and I happen to be in front. That's all. but I appreciate it. I appreciate the responsibility. My goal starting out was really just to, again, we weren't having these conversations about the characters that were in films. I was literally trying to show people, listen, there are actually a lot of Black, Latino, and differently abled LGBTQ characters in comics already, but they're from maybe the 90s and you don't know about them. So that's what I started talking about. I just started trying to be a resource for people who were like, but I want to see. And I was sort of trying to say, you don't have to wait. It actually already exists. And also, there are these 17 indie comics over here you could be reading. That, and then I guess because a lot of artists and writers weren't getting a lot of light and a lot of shine, they kind of latched onto me. And between that and the fact that I kind of am addicted to live tweeting shows, that kind of blew me up on Twitter. And then I just tried to, from there, grow my brand I was lucky enough to get editing jobs again, and I was subcontracted as a freelance editor to go out to San Diego Comic-Con to edit for Sci-Fi. What was funny about that was because Sci-Fi Wire was very new and USA was kind of new, like not new, but they were new under this whole NBC Universal umbrella. There was a whole bunch of people in that room that were working on this stuff that didn't know what they were looking at. So they were like, okay, so who's that guy? I'm like, what guy? The old one. You mean Peter Capaldi? That's Doctor Who right now. What do you mean you don't know who that is? But this was sort of that nexus of like pre-Black Panther, but in the middle of the Avengers craze and everything, where a lot of major networks and websites and stuff were like, we, the geeks have money. We need to get in on this. But there was not a lot of people behind the scenes that knew what they were looking at. So I just sort of, it was sort of right place, right time. And then I was asked to pitch a show for Sci-Fi, which I did. And nobody ever saw it because it was very, very small. But I was like producing. I had a team of writers and stuff like that. And they literally just came on as interstitials between their shows. So if you happen to be watching, like, I don't know, Killjoys, you might have seen it.
That's so a big deal.
It was, and it got me in front of a lot of people who were like, oh, so like you know this. And I just always thought that was really funny. I was like, but I said I've been editing for 15 years. Okay. So it's like really funny being like a woman of color in this space, because every day when you meet somebody, they're like, oh, wait, so you actually do this? It's like, but how did you think I got? I'm like, this is my panel. What did you think was going to happen?
Right.
Like, you know?
For sure.
And all of that backstory is the other reason why you don't really find me fighting on social media. And it's because this stuff, we're not saving lives here. You know what I mean? Like, this is entertainment.
Well, we wanted to ask you about that a little more, because we love that the Blurred Girl community is, again, it's not confrontational. It's a very kind of empowering, inclusive community. So we wanted to ask you, you know, how do you endeavor to make your website a safe space for Black nerds and other geeks who may be minorities? Can you speak to, you know, how important it is to have these online havens? And I love how you said resources. We've actually interviewed people from AO3 before, and how important it is to have a platform like that.
Oh, I love AO3. Like, I've lost entire days on AO3.
Same.
Thank you, first of all. Well, I still, even though it's hard to do, I still curate my comments, but I don't necessarily want... there's some stuff that I put up there. Like, listen, there's some people that don't agree with me, and their comments are up on my site. I don't have a problem with that. Same thing with YouTube. But if they're respectful, you don't have to agree with me, but you're not going to sit here and like call me out my name and everybody, and then harass everybody on this, you know, feed. And that is the only time, like I said, I try really hard to let people express themselves, but I'm very clear that basically we're here to kind of learn from each other. I don't know if you can curse on here, I'm sorry, but like, don't be an ass, basically. Like, for all intents and purposes, like the way the algorithms work right now on both Twitter and Instagram, and I coach people on social media too, that's like another business. I tell people all the time, you're going to get more of what you see and what you like. So if all you're seeing is people screaming and yelling about the president, it's possible that that's all you've been commenting on recently, or that's all you've been liking and retweeting. So I have this trick I do on social media, especially Twitter, it works fabulous. After I've been engaged, even if it gets heated and I see a lot of people start like coming in my feed that want to fight, I go over to this the Twitter feed, Emergency Puppies, and I just retweet a bunch of stuff and the algorithm adjusts. It's like, oh, okay. So yeah. I do that in terms of when I kind of curate my content on Twitter and Instagram. I will say that I've been really having more conversations on Instagram than Twitter lately, because I don't know if this is because of my follower count or whatever. Instagram is a little slower for me and I can actually have conversations. I try very hard to let people who do comment on my site, although most people talk to me more on social, to feel that what I have there is for them to read and to be empowered. But I see my stats, and a lot of the people that are reading stuff on my site are actually not people of color. There, I think I have a lot of like straight white dudes reading my site, not necessarily to fight with me, but I think to learn. And that should be commended. Like, you're not going to always know the right thing to say. I also think for the two things have happened in geekdom. Fandom is basically now a new marketing term. You know, even when I would say blurred before, if I called myself a blurred, it meant that if you were an otaku fan or you are a cosplayer, comic book reader, watcher, manga reader, and you happen to be black, that, oh, I might be able to connect with this person and they will not call me out my name or drag me or say that I'm a fake geek, whatever. And that's what that term meant. I think now that's even changed a little bit. There are people that are trying to call themselves blurs to get, you know, followers and things like that. And it's just like any other fandom. So you have to pay attention. And I also, for people just in general, if somebody says something that you don't like you feel is really offensive, but you're like, oh, but they're like a really famous blurred, or they're a really important this or that, even if they're an actor, you know, I'm not saying drag them because that's going to bring another type of people to you. But if you want to comment, if you want to say, hey, listen, I'm not really comfortable with you saying that, or I didn't agree with this. And if you say it in a way, exactly, like I said, not full of expletives, not trying to come out them sideways, they may have a conversation with you. Because I've had some really good conversations with people who are, I think that felt that they came to start a fight with me. Like, I literally very recently had a conversation with somebody who was clear Trump supporter, but he came in the mentions and he had questions about specifically a comic I was talking about. And I talked to him like I would talk to anybody else. And he's like, listen, not going to follow you because this is just like not my cup of tea, but I appreciate this conversation because I learned a lot. And I was like, cool, have a nice day.
Awesome.
I think at the end of the day, most people just want to be heard. They want to be spoken to like mm-hmm. a human being, and they want to be heard. I do draw the line, though, at stuff, repeating myself on stuff that's Google, that you can find on Google.
Right.
Sometimes just gets on my nerves because I'm like, is A, lazy, and B, probably clickbait.
Gotcha. Yeah, for sure.
So I have gotten a little bit better about that. Yeah. Yeah, no, and I appreciate that.
But it's like such a great important thing, like you said, to kind of get like that, to be able to listen to each other when you're in different communities.
And also, I think the biggest thing that I say on a regular basis is we would not all be fighting over this one character if there were more. I had a post that went viral about Riri Williams, and it was a conversation about what was doing. It was happening a lot on both DC, Marvel, and a lot of things called reskinning, which is where you take a character originally straight, white, and male and make them an other. So the new Iron Man is going to be black, female, and named after a black pop star and a black tennis star. Yeah, Riri Williams. We were like, that's the first thing we saw. Because when you're looking at something from a marketing standpoint, anything with Williams in it and anything with Riri is going to, it's almost like they named her Beyonce. Like, come on. Because they knew it will go viral. So my thing is, there's all of these amazing people out here creating these amazing original characters. Can we get some light on them? But the other thing I did at the bottom of that post, which is why I try really hard to do with a lot of my posts, there were no black women that had ever written for Marvel when I did that post. Now, thank God, there are more. I was like, and can we stop writing these characters and not giving any black women, female writers, any jobs? And for those of you who don't think black women write comic books, here's a list. Mm-hmm. 6 or 8 months after I wrote that, but it was somebody who actually was from Marvel that said that that post was put up in a meeting at Marvel and was like, by somebody who was doing a presentation that was basically saying, do better. If the fans can find these writers, we can too.
That's outstanding. Well, yeah, we'd like to explore that a little more with you. You've had these posts that have gone viral, and you do strive and succeed to be a resource in fandom. So why do you think it is so important to provide actionable advice to fellow nerds?
Yeah, that's my mama. My mother is a really big proponent. Growing up, she would stop telling me it's wrong. Show me why it's right. Show me why your opinion is right. Like, that was my household. Also, I also need to explain something. I'm from a household of geeks. So, like, we have a family Crunchyroll account. From a young age, and my brothers are twins and they're younger, and I'm the only girl. So I'm used to having like a bunch of dudes tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. So I've that doesn't frighten me. So it was just starting there. I would have conversations with people that really well-meaning people who would start sentences with, listen, I'm not trying to be racist. I don't understand what you're saying. Can you explain this to me? And the first thing I would say is, your second question is completely valid. Never say the first one again. Like, never start a sentence with, I'm not trying to be racist, because it's going to get anybody who's a person of color, our hackles are going to be up, because that's usually the first sentence in something that is actually very racist. So I think the whole point of, this is a problem, here is my idea for a solution, for me, is more helpful than, this is a problem. And I also put that even into conversations that I have on social media. If something gets really, really personal and really, really, we're pulling this into a DM. I don't want the wrong people triggering anything that you're saying. And even other people that don't have things that are that triggering, I will say, you know what? Let's have this in a private conversation. And if they don't want to have a private conversation, they want to have a public fight, I just end it. I just mute it or I block them. Because you're not interested in growing or growing the people around you. You literally just want to get your numbers up and to have a fight. Now, at the same time, it confuses people, because when they meet me, if they've cursed me out online or if they've tried to start a fight in person, I'm like, yo, so what's good? And they're like, oh. I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm real nice on social, but you literally called me all kinds of names and I saw it and I was in your mentions and we need to have a conversation about how that's inappropriate. And I don't think people are ready for me to be like that in person. It's interesting how there's a lot of people who use the keyboard. The keyboard is their protection. So yeah, I really think it's very, very important. The ability to listen, which is so tough when you're inundated, that's what is like needed more of. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. And if you start looking at curating your feed like that, you can see a lot of people yelling about the same stuff. But when you start going into the comments and seeing, wait, that's a perspective I didn't think about. There are things and moments out there where you can actually make a change. But on the other end of that, I don't fight every fight, because at the end of the day, Marvel and DC and Disney and Warner Brothers, their goal is to make money and to make their shareholders happy.
I think that's like so incredibly important that you have. You look at other fans with compassion and you're helping kind of foster that within fans and like letting them build their own geeky tribes and like being able to find
them. Yes.
It's incredibly important that you have that with the Blurred Girl in your social media and even like just through sci-fi wire.
I appreciate that. It's the 24-hour news cycle. I remember like the week that Punisher dropped on Netflix, we went from a real life series of shootings to they pushed the show, but they only pushed it like a month and people were still dealing with that. And then you're dealing with Punisher. And I was like, okay, for those of you who can't deal with this, you don't have to binge watch this show. Like, there is literally nobody out there who's going to, like, fire you. Right. You don't have to do this. You know, and sometimes you just, I didn't realize it until very recently that there's not enough people saying, and this is the other reason why my site isn't a news site. Like, I pick and choose what I talk about, and I do have a newsletter, and that probably stays more current than the blog. I do not have the energy, the time, and I don't think a lot of other people do either, to binge watch all the things. I do get paid to watch a lot of things, and I love that, and I'm constantly trying to, like, write about things and try and use my own voice as much as possible. But next year, I'm predicting this, 2020, we're going to hit a saturation point with streaming.
Sure.
There's only so many days, hours in a day that you can stream all the things and then stay healthy.
I know I'm going to be spending way too much time on all of that. Because I also need to spend some time like just within fandom, being able to celebrate other fans. So, I mean, what can we, or I guess like for other fans and other listeners as well, what can we do to be like good allies to other people just within our community or
It's funny thing. I think there's some obvious things we can do that people, I think people all want to get like a 10-point platform and program of all the things that they can do. Sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's very simple. Like you, there's a, and I've said this to guys, there's a convention that you're going to that's called writing female characters and there's no women on it. You should probably say something. Like, it doesn't always have to be the woman that says something. Like, there should be a guy out there that goes, hey, that could be a problem.
Don't you see something wrong with this picture?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And I've also had to have this conversation just in general. Like, we throw the word diversity around a lot, which is also now an advertising term.
Yes.
We have to be careful with that term because a lot of people say, oh, yes, there's women on the panel, so now it's diverse. Is it, though? You know, and I've been on panels that are all Black. And I'm the only woman. And somebody said, yes, it's a diverse panel. And I'm like, it's actually not. Instead of, hey, I don't want to get into an argument about diversity, flip that on its head and say, hey, is this as inclusive as we could be? I do think if you start asking basic questions, I mean, I don't think you ladies have that problem at all. Like, your podcast is very diverse. And I think that it is very inclusive. And you're willing to have the conversations. There's a lot of people out there, or there's some people, I should say some, not a lot, that aren't willing to do it. Now, the other thing is, in terms of being a resource, I don't think people realize how inundated a lot of the websites and news resources are. I mean, I think we've all seen things written about BuzzFeed and how the writers are getting like very little pay and they got to crank things out very quickly. In this 24-hour news cycle, when stuff is going by really, really quickly, there are headlines and terms and things that get that don't get edited or get missed that people just don't catch. So I can guarantee you that I literally would not have been on camera for Sci-Fi if I wasn't in the building working on something. Same thing with podcasts. And I'm not saying that they weren't trying to hire Black people. I'm just saying that Sci-Fi, USA, Fandango, and Rotten Tomatoes are all owned by NBC Universal. So they are owned by a corporation that needs shareholders to keep happy, and they've got a lot of stuff to kick out. When it comes to being diverse, everybody recognizes, yeah, we really do need to be, like, when I sit here and I look at this meeting, and I've had guys tell me, I'm sitting and looking at a meeting full of white dudes, and I know it's not right, but I don't know what to do about it. And it's simply because, and they're already working 50 hours a week. So if I have a list of people that you can get a hold of, and that's a resource for you, take it. I'm just telling you, if it'd be nice to give me credit, but even if you don't give me credit, hire somebody. Don't just copy what that person is saying on their Twitter feed. Actually hire them as a consultant and things like that, and put them in the space. At the same token, there are people out there that are tweeting their lives away. And I've literally had to pull, like, hi, I just saw what you wrote about Game of Thrones. I think it's amazing. Take it down and pitch it. Because somebody else is sitting. I'm not saying Sci-Fi does this. I'm saying I've been in rooms with people at conventions who will put up Twitter feeds and go, here, get your prompts from right here. So people see what you write. And I literally, look, I have Google alerts for my name as well as for certain, like, phrases I've used. And I have been quoted. I have been quoted without credit. I'm not yelling at the people. It was just a litmus test to see, okay, yeah, people are really seeing some of the things I'm putting out there. And also have a platform of your own. That was the main reason also to put stuff on the Blur Girl. There's pitches I give Sci-Fi they don't use. It just happened yesterday. There's pitches that I've put out, like, for other people that they don't want. And I write them anyway, and I put them up on my site so that I don't feel like, well, nobody wants to hear this. So if you have your own platform, even if you don't have a blog, use Medium. Use something. But being that resource is also so people run out of excuses. And I know it seems trite. In this age of, like, everybody has seen Oscar So White, everybody has seen the Me Too movement, they should know. The average person might know on a global level, but on the day-to-day of how they can make that change, they don't know.
Right.
And I literally have spoken to people. I literally have given a talk to a room full of people, and I've said to them, I know that there are very few people in this room who have seen anybody like me that doesn't take care of their children or their car. And I'm being very honest with you. And I'm here to tell you that we exist, and I'm going to show you where we're located, because they don't live in your neighborhood. And I'm clear on that. And I'm not here to convince you otherwise. But it's very, very hard for the people who are actually signing the checks. If they don't work with women and they don't work with people of color, they literally just go back to what they know.
No, that's for sure. And I think, and especially that you've done, just in the brief time we've been talking to you, just you do such an amazing job of expanding horizons, and in a way where people, they feel like they can be part of the conversation without feeling like attacked or like very like hostily confronted. So again, we're so thrilled to have you on. We also wanted to quickly dive into the comics of it all. What's an indie comic that you would recommend that we should all binge right now?
If you're not binging Monstrous, like, fix your lives. Monstrous is written by Marjorie Liu and Sanaa Takeda. And besides the fact that the comic is absolutely stunning, and it's funny because you don't quite know where it is, it's one of those things that's steampunk, so it's sort of like future past.
Gotcha.
But it's beautifully drawn. It's basically about a girl who was enslaved. She's free, but her race of people are basically, I don't want to say that they're mages. They all carry a certain amount of magic within them. And the dominating, I would say, species of humans, and we're going to say humanoids, they sort of try to feed off of them for their power. And she basically has freed herself and is learning how to free her people, but also within that, she comes from a very specific line of her people that basically are symbionts for these demons, for all intents and purposes. In the beginning of the story, she doesn't know how to wield this demon. Like, she basically passes out and it kind of goes on a rampage. But as she gets stronger in the story, she gets stronger in terms of being sharing space with this entity, as well as freeing her own people. And besides everything else, Sanaa Takeda's drawings are absolutely stunning. Like, every single page you can hang on your wall.
Wow.
So that is one I would absolutely recommend. Everybody should be reading Wicked and Divine, because it just ended, so you can now get everything. And it's basically, you've probably talked about it, it's about basically every 10 years, gods come to Earth and they inhabit humans, but they inhabit them as like rock stars and kings and queens, yeah, and stuff. Yeah, it's just, it's absolutely gorgeous.
It's awesome. So again, I feel tempted to end the podcast so I can go binge all of that. But we do have, we always like to end the podcast with a rapid fire, would you rather fandom game.
Sure.
So we're gonna do that, and then class is dismissed, and everyone can just binge the Blurred Girl and all of your amazing recommendations. So Kristen, how about you take the first question?
Unlimited fan fiction. I've read some of the most amazing fan fiction ever that have done tons more than what I've seen in, like, on TV and on. Yeah, exactly. There's stuff we would never see on TV that's just amazing.
That is the beauty of fan fiction.
Yes, exactly.
Since we've been talking a lot about conventions, would you rather wait in line for your favorite panel only to miss it and come back next year? Or would you rather meet your icons, break a bunch of rules, but then you're banned from the convention for life?
Can there be a C option? Anybody who's met me knows that, like, I don't wait in line. I was applying for press passes even before I was working with sci-fi, because, like, I'm not standing on this line. So the second one, I would probably have, like, this great experience, hang out with them, be banned for life. It's fine.
Thank you. Next.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah, this is so difficult. Because I'm a Trekkie first, I'm going to say the second one. See, and you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to modify it and say, see a Skywalker become captain of the Enterprise.
Plot twist.
Yes.
That's awesome. Okay, we're going to stay in kind of the realm of space and ask you, would you rather go to a different planet with your favorite doctor or time travel with your favorite companion?
You know, honestly, I feel like the companions always knew what was going on, even when the doctors were confused. All of them.
There you go.
It's weird. I kind of like the sixth doctor, and then I like 11 and 12. So I'm going to say the companions, because the companions, and it's also, the companions were the few places that, until now, the companions were the only places you'd find a woman anyway. So yeah,
true.
Hang out with a companion, because...
Who would be your favorite companion?
Oh my goodness.
Sorry, we just made it harder.
I know. It's so hard. Huh. I can't choose, because there's so many good ones. I was going to say, like, all of them. And honestly, like, if... I know, it would be a girls' trip. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'd want to put all three of them, like, basically jack the TARDIS and then just run off with it until the doctor could find us and go to all the cool spots. That sounds
like a write that fanfic.
Oh, comic book series. I think I would survive a few more pages than video. I'm a closet gamer, because gaming fandom can be, I don't know. It's so funny. People go, well, comics can be crazy too. I'm like, I feel like gamers are worse. But I'm also, and I get teased a lot for this, I'm not a huge RPG fan. And for me, I'm more of a fighting game person. Like, I don't want all the questions. Like, I answer questions, like, all day. I do, like, a lot of interviews. I, like, just... I want to sit down and then start killing people. I'm sorry. I just want, like, Mortal Kombat, Tekken.
Yeah, I'm here to blow some stuff up.
So I can see why that wouldn't be the world that you want
to
be in.
Right. I die every 15 minutes because I'm like, I don't want to have this conversation. I literally just want to shoot everybody. So I know. That's probably a cry for help, but...
No, but hey, again, your website's a safe space. This podcast is a safe space. It has been an absolute joy. And again, just honestly, an education for us to have you on.
Thank you.
Where can everyone find you on social media and support all the amazing work that you do?
They can find me, The Blurred Girl, TheBlurredGurl, all over the internet. I mostly hang out on Twitter and Instagram, though, so you can definitely find me there.
Fantastic.
And then you can follow us at YBFG Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and Your Biggest Fan Girl on Tumblr, where we also follow Twitter.
Fangirls, if you enjoyed this conversation we had, I hope we all learned something, because we certainly did. Please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Karema, it has been just an absolute joy having you on the podcast, and we were already fangirls of you going into this, and now we've just, our fangirling has been up by 5,000%. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all in our next episode in 2 weeks.
Yay!
Thank you so much.
Our theme song is The California Lullaby Instrumental by Josh Woodward, used under Creative Commons Attributions 4.0 International License.